Praise the Lord that Calvary covers it all. Hebrews chapter 11 this morning, Hebrews 11, and we're going to be looking at verse 6 and verse 7 this morning. And we've been looking at the book of Hebrews for some time now, and over the last few weeks we've been looking at chapter 11. And we've been taking it apart piece by piece, if you will, looking at the different ones that are mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 11. We have heard this many times called the Hall of Faith or the Great Faith chapter, because in these verses here, when it talks about these different patriarchs, these different people of time past, and it's discussing them, it says this, by faith, and then mentions their name. And as we've been looking at some things, we talked about Enoch, we talked about Abel, and today we're going to be talking about this man that all of us are very aware of, this man named Noah. And I'm going to be talking about his faith here this morning. So Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 6 and 7, notice the Bible says this, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Now, we see this man, Noah, here. And this is one of those verses that anyone that believes that you are that you're exempt from things, well, because you haven't seen it come to pass, well, read this verse here. The only reason that Noah and his family were saved from destruction was because he believed what God said. The earth had never seen a rain in that fashion before. It was just, before that, it was just like a dew upon the earth. They had never seen that before, but he believed God. Even though it sounded impossible, he had faith in God. And because of that, of course, him and his family were spared. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today, but it's important for us to understand that this salvation by grace through faith is not some new thing. It's not something that just happened just a few years ago or something like that. It's been the beginning of the time. We see that looking at Abel, it was by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. It's always been by faith in God Himself for salvation. So let's open with a word of prayer and we'll get started here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, what a privilege it is to be here in your house. We do thank you for who you are. We thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for that measure of faith that the Bible declares you've given to every man. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone here that has not exercised that faith in the area of accepting you as their Savior, that they would do that today. And Lord, I do pray that you would just guide and direct my thoughts and my words, and Lord, that you would just help this message to go forth with power. And the Lord, that the Holy Spirit would speak to hearts. Lord, I pray that I would be out of the way and that all of our eyes would be focused on you and what you would have us to do. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here at the in the book of Hebrews, something that we've looked at many, many times, of course, going through especially those first few chapters, I believe the first five or six chapters that we went through, we looked at the theme of Hebrews, if you will, and we talked about how the theme, I believe, of Hebrews is this: Christ is better. Of course, you could talk about the priesthood of Christ and all of that, but as you go through those things, you find that that the penman here is describing to these people how it doesn't matter what the world has to offer, it doesn't even matter what religion has to offer, Christ is better than all of those things. And we discussed that as we went through the beginning of Hebrews. If you want to go back and listen to those messages, they are online through our sermon audio. You can get there through the church website, but all those posted there. But it's important for us to understand, to have that mindset going into especially this faith chapter here, and knowing what the penman here had been talking about. It's important for us to understand that, because no matter what we put it up against, Christ is better. Even in our own lives today, it doesn't matter what this world has to offer. Understand this, there is nothing better than following the Lord with your life. There's nothing better than trusting Christ as your personal Savior, because that starts that journey of following the Lord. You need to take care of that if you're not saved today. You need to be saved. But we looked at this as we went through the first few chapters of Hebrews. We found out, of course, that He is the Lord. He's the Son of God. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Christ is better than everything. But we also looked at some truths about the law. Remember, the Apostle Paul has been combating some beliefs here. The Jews that he is speaking of, they have accepted Christ as their personal Savior. They've turned their back on Judaism, and they're wanting to follow the Lord, understanding that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is the Messiah. He's the very Son of God, the one that came to be the Redeemer of their souls, not to free them from the Roman Empire like so many people thought, but to come and to die on the cross for them. And these people had accepted Christ, but they were under severe persecution from family and friends and we would consider religious leaders and ones like that to turn their back on Christ now and go back to Judaism. And the Apostle Paul is telling them, you don't need to do that. Because that same faith that you trusted in Christ in, exact same faith is what your ancestors, what the patriarchs of the faith, the ones who the Lord used to pen those scriptures that you've studied, that has given that law, the same faith that they had is the faith that you have now trusted in Christ with. And he's telling them there's no need to turn back to those other things. Don't turn back to work salvation and those things. It's only by grace through faith. You know, there's many people today that are dealing with the same exact thing. Maybe some ones even here in the church today that have trusted Christ as their Savior, and maybe their spouse has trusted Christ. Maybe their spouse hasn't trusted Christ either way, but they face severe persecution when it comes to religious things in their home. It's something that many people deal with today. You know, I've used the statement before, that the gospel will either make you mad, sad, or glad. Amen. It's either going to make you so upset that you don't want anything to do with it. It's going to make you sad and that's going to drive you away. Or it's going to make you mad enough that you get sad enough that you trust Christ and get glad enough. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the gospel can do that. But understand, there are still people today under religious persecution. And sometimes, many times, it's behind closed doors when no one else knows what's going on. But God knows it's there. This religious persecution we're talking about here today in this passage that these people were going through, it's not something that's new. So how did this preacher convince them, biblically, to keep the faith? Well, he said, let's study a little bit about faith. Let's look at what the forefathers, how they believed God. Let's look at what God brought them through and how they stayed faithful to God. And let's study that. That's what we've been doing here in chapter 11. See here in Hebrews chapter 11, the Apostle Paul is giving them some positive reaffirmation, if you will, of their faith. And that's something that we all need more times than we would like to admit, is positive reaffirmation. You know, that's yet another reason why a church attendance is so important. The Word of God, we sound it forth, and that is the reaffirmation of our faith. It's to guide us to continue believing and obeying God, not because we can lose our salvation, but to live the victorious Christian life. It's important to be here under the preaching of the Word of God. It's amazing to me over my life how many times I was dealing with something that I had no idea that it was that big of a deal, if you will, and that no one knew except for the Lord Himself. But I came in the church, I sat on a church pew, and what happened? Pastor preached on that very thing. How many's been there? I've been there. Yeah, we've all been there. Because God knows our heart. You know, it's important to be in church. It's important. It's not just something we check off the list and just go on with our day. No, listen for the Lord to speak to you. He will speak. You know, the Jews were very focused on their ancestors culturally, the patriarchs of the faith, if you will, and in an attempt to combat the false teachings of works and Judaism, the Apostle Paul is telling them that even their ancestors believed God, they had faith in God, and their faith was counted unto them for righteousness. So as we look at this chapter a little further, look at these couple of verses here today, I want to preach to you a message that I have entitled this, The Project of Noah's Faith. The Project of Noah's Faith. And I say project, I mean this, the construction of it. There's a project, there's something that we're going to see that is built one thing upon another when it comes to the faith of Noah. And notice, first of all, the place of the project. The place of the project. Look at verse 7, if you will. It says this, by faith Noah, warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Something that we all understand as a simple fact is this. When a person wants to build something, a house or some other structure of the that point, they can go through and they can put all of these plans together and how they want the house to look and the layout and colors and all of these different things and go through all of those details. But that construction cannot take place until they have a place to build that house. You could put it on paper if you want, but if there's not a set place where it's going to be built, construction has not happened. If they do not own land or have a place in which they can build the house, construction cannot begin. The same principle is true when it comes to our faith as well. God will not call someone to do something if that person has not trusted Christ as their Savior. He's not going to do that. Because God is working through the lives of believers. Now, God desires everyone to be saved. The Holy Spirit is convicting mankind of sin, and God wants people to be saved. But God's not going to call someone to pastor a church if they've never trusted Christ as their Savior. Not going to call them to work on a bus route or be a Sunday school teacher or anything like that. They've never trusted Christ as their Savior. It has to start somewhere. The place of their faith must be settled in God. At the beginning of verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God. Now, we know, of course, in the context here of this verse, that his faith was in God. God told him to do something, and he believed God, and he did that because his faith was placed in God. Now, when we think of Noah, there is one thing alone that comes to our mind. And many times it is this large boat, this ark, that we think of. Many times when someone thinks of Noah, they may not think of his family or anything like that. No, they think of what we call it, Noah's Ark. That's what we call it. And there's many things, and something that I personally, may just be a personality thing, I don't know, maybe, but either way, that I don't like is the cartoonizing of many Bible things. I just don't like that. And especially when it comes to Noah's Ark. I've never seen a cartoon Noah's Ark that puts it to scale, if you will, on the massive project that it was that this man completed through the power of God. Now, I understand the cartoonizing for kids and all that kind of stuff. I'm just saying I'm a fan of it. This was a huge thing. The Ark encounter out in Kentucky is an amazing place. Absolutely amazing place. And I didn't know what to expect. And when I got there, I was expecting to see a large boat. And let me tell you, I saw a large boat. That thing was huge. It was just amazing to me, the size of that. But understand this. The ark that God called Noah to build, it wasn't project hadn't started simply because, well, Noah was a carpenter, so God needed someone to build a boat, so he called him. No, it was because Noah had faith in God. Now, when we look back on that account in Scripture, we would say this, that Noah did great things for God. He had this huge project, this huge undertaking, and he did that work. What a wonderful work it was that God did through Noah. And we'd say, that's a wonderful thing. And I think every one of us would say, I want God to work through me in big ways as well. But there has to be a place for the project to begin. And of course, that is trusting Christ as your personal Savior. Understand, Noah was not saved because he built the ark. He wasn't saved because he decided it would be a good idea. He was saved because simply he believed God. He had faith in God himself. God could do a great thing in his life because Noah had placed his faith in God. If I was to ask you this morning, who desires God to do a great thing in your life? I think we would all agree. But understand that God will only do that if we have first placed our trust in Him. We must first be saved. Just as construction doesn't begin without a place to build, God cannot start a great work in our lives if we haven't trusted Him as our personal Savior. Placing our God is not just wistful thinking or something like that, just hoping that our lives will be better or just saying, well, I hope someday I'll go to heaven. No, placing our trust in God is understanding, I'm a sinner on my way to hell. The Lord Jesus Christ paid that sin debt. I trust Him as my personal Savior. Therefore, I'm going to heaven, repenting of those sins, understanding He's the only way. That's the only way the project can begin. That's it. The place of Noah's faith was in the Word of God. Why it's more important to realize what the Bible says about things rather than what man says, because at the end of the day, we should do what the Bible says. Let God be true and every man a liar. God is true. So first we see the place of the project. Secondly, understand this, the materials of the project. You know, we see here in verse 7, that it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, understand this, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Something that we see here is this, immediate action. When God told Noah to build the ark, God did not say, hey, on such and such day, begin to build the ark. He told him, this is what needs to happen, because rain is going to come. The world is going to be flooded. You have to start building this ark here. There was materials that were put into place. Now, we have some different ones here. I know Brother Jeremy and Brother Dan are both in construction. Something that they would know to be true is this. In order to start a project, you need some materials. And it takes some time to get a material list together. It takes some time to put these things together. If they were to go and to build a building, and they just pull up some Lowe's, Home Depot, or a lumber yard, or something like that, and said, I'm building a building, and all I need is 1,000 2x4s. That's it. I don't need anything else. People say, well, that's crazy. There's no way that you can do what you need with just that. You need tools, and you need other materials, and all of these different things. We understand that to be true when it comes to a temporal project, if you will, something that is built here on this earth. But understand this, when it comes to living a life of faith, there's some materials that are needed as well. And if we don't put those materials into action in our lives, there may be one thing that we see in the Bible. We see how God used these people. God did great things through these people. Through Noah, we see that because of the materials that he put into place there, and the Lord working through his life, he was able to build this great boat, and all of these animals were to be on there, and his family was saved from the flood and all of those things. And we see that happening here, and we say, I want faith like that. So how do we do that? By following a biblical material list. And understand this, if you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior today, the material list has already begun. But understand, many times we've put some things on that material list that don't need to be there. We need what God says needs to be on that list. And the first thing that's there is this, immediate action. When someone trusts Christ as their personal Savior, the best thing to do is start following the Lord. Immediately. Start allowing the Lord to work in your life. Start allowing the Lord to stir things up in your life, to make changes in your life. Immediate action needs to happen. That's the first material there. And we need to put that into place. God has called all of us to be disciples of Him. Therefore, we are to follow His will, His material list, if you will. I'm going through on Wednesday night. Started a series of biblical discipleship. And all of us should be biblical disciples. We should strive to be that. But you don't become a biblical disciple just by trusting Christ as your Savior. You don't build a building just by going to the lumber yard buying lumber. No, it takes some work. It takes some things. It takes some wood and all of those types of things. When it comes to building a life of faith as well, it's going to take some deliberate action. Immediately start following the Lord. You know, as we study this project that God called Noah to complete, we find that God told him what wood to use, how tall to build it, how wide it was to be, how to seal the ark and all of those things. God instructed every single detail. He didn't leave anything up to the imagination. What time do we see God say, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out with this list and I want you to get this gopher wood here. But if they're out of that, then get this kind of wood. He doesn't say that. Why? Because God knew exactly what He wanted. If we think for a moment that we can live the faith life by serving God part-time, you're wrong. Understand that. Because our God is not a part-time God. God came, He sent His own Son to die on the cross for us. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave everything for us. And yet, many times the only thing we give to Him is a couple of hours on Sunday morning. It is to be a lifestyle if we want to be disciples of Christ. If we want to live the faith life. Noah was exercising his faith here, following the material list, if you will, and it's seen through his immediate obedience. Church, something we must understand is the importance of immediate obedience. Once the ark was complete, once the animals were on the ark, there was only a few days before the water started to fall. What if he would have procrastinated? What if he would have said, well, I'll get to that later. I'll start building that when children are grown. I'll start building that when I'm through this in my life, or I'll start doing that when I feel like it. Him and his whole family and the rest of the world paid the price for that. And can I tell you this here today, fathers, brothers, grandparents, even children here today, it doesn't matter your age. If you refuse to follow the Lord and take immediate action in your life, your family will pay for that. They will. Noah had to take immediate action. He had to start the building project. But here's what's amazing. He didn't do it alone. You know who he had with him? He had the Lord with him. And he had his family with him. He was serving the Lord. Noah was exercising his faith here. What if he would have had some nonchalant attitude towards the will of God like many believers did? He would have died in the flood. His family would have been destroyed. But we see that Noah obeyed the Lord. You're here this morning. You've trusted Christ. You desire the Lord to do great things in your life. Can I challenge you to do this morning? Take immediate action. Start following the Lord immediately. Start asking the Lord, Lord, what in my life needs to change? What in my life needs to be better? What needs to be trimmed away from my life? What is drawing me closer to you and what is pushing me away? Take immediate action. And immediate action doesn't mean start tomorrow. Immediate action means start today. Today. What if he would have procrastinated? His family would have been destroyed. Maybe you're here and you're saved. You've trusted Christ as personal Savior. You desire the Lord to do great things through your life. Take immediate action. Get involved immediately. Maybe you're here and you don't know what the next step is. How can I be involved? Well, if you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, there are some steps of obedience to the Lord. First of all, after salvation, is to be scripturally baptized. If you're saved, you need to be baptized. But not all baptisms, understand, are scriptural baptisms. There's an awful lot of things out there today that people are calling baptism, but it's not scripturally speaking. It's not scripturally correct. You know, the word baptized means to immerse. We've seen the baptisms that we've done here, but not too long ago. Brother Nikolai got baptized. And what was it? He went under the water completely. What is that? That's immersion. If someone said, I want you to go take whatever this is, and I want you to immerse that. None of us would take a couple of drips of water and go, okay, it's done. Understand, baptism means immersion, but it's not only immersion, it's done through the right authority as well, through the local church, under the authority of the local church. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor Combs, I desire to follow the Lord. I want the Lord to do a great work in my life. I want to have a faith that is building. I want to have a faith that is strong. What must I do? Well, if you're not saved, get saved. If you are saved and been baptized, then get baptized. But understand this as well. Infant baptism is not scriptural baptism. You know, when we read the Bible, we see that baptism is for believers only. When we look at Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch said, what does hinder me to be baptized? And he told him, if you've believed on the Lord, then you can be baptized. It can happen. It's only for believers. There have been many Baptists who have been killed for believing in scriptural baptism. Believe that. There are no saving powers in the water, but it's a picture of what the Lord has done for us and what we believe the Lord did. Many ones who have stood against infant baptism and sprinkling and pouring and all of those things. It's so simple. The Bible, when it says baptized, it literally means to immerse. You need to be baptized today. We can take care of that. Get with me after the service. We will take care of that. Maybe you're here and you are saved. Maybe you're here, you have been scripturally baptized, but you're not a member of the local New Testament church. You need to take that next step of church membership. That's your next step of immediate action. If any of those things need to be taken care of in your life, we can take care of those. But understand this, in the book of Acts, when we read that people were saved and they were baptized, it says added unto them 3,000 souls. What that means is that's being added to a role, not so that your name just appears somewhere, but so that you have a place in which you can serve the Lord through. It's a wonderful thing to serve the Lord through the local New Testament church. You need to take care of any of those things, we can do that. The first material there was this: take immediate action. It needs to happen immediately. The second material is this: hard work. You know, all of us need to understand what work is. You know, but there is a whole generation coming up that has no idea what hard work is. You know, it's just amazing to me what some people call work today. Absolutely amazing. I saw this thing the other day and it made me laugh, and it said, somebody asked me if I was emotionally fragile, and I said, no, I can't be emotionally fragile because when my dad was working on the car, I was the one that had to hold the flashlight, and he's always, shine over here, what are you doing shining over there, you know? We were taught to work from a young age, working on cars and building things and all of that, and we know that nothing comes to fruition without hard work, but yet when it comes to our faith, we feel as if it's just going to fall right in our lap. All of us know people who are strong people in the faith. I've got different ones in my life, some have even passed on now, and I think of them very highly as strong giants in the faith, if you will. They didn't get there because they were willing to allow everyone else the Lord, and they just sat back. know, they got there to be that, to have that strong faith because they were the one in the trenches, because they were the ones working. They were willing to put their hand to the plow and keep going for the Lord. We see here in verse 7, it says there about halfway through, prepared an ark. That took some work. The work that Noah was doing here, understand this, he didn't have modern day equipment. Now take some CNC machine and just cut out everything they needed. He couldn't do that back then. He had to go cut the trees down and, you know, all of these things. He had to prepare everything. I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. Here in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says this, which sometime were disobedient. When once the long-suffering God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein a few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Notice, God was waiting while the ark was being prepared. I think many times when we think of the ark, many times we tend to overlook the work that went into it. God didn't say, okay, Noah, here's what I'm going to do. You walk over to this land. When you get there, you're going to have this this large ark sitting there. And once you get there, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out and wrangle up all these animals and get them on the ark that I've prepared for you. And then I'm going to shut the door, and then it's going to start raining. That's not what happened. God said that it needed to be built. It needed to be prepared. And Noah was preparing that ark, and it took time. It took hard work. A life of strong faith is going to take some work as well. And there's always work to be done. This side of heaven, we will never be done working. That's some encouraging words for you, isn't it? Amen. We've got work to do. When one project is done, we begin working on something else. If you're anything like me, we've got about 30 projects going. Some of them have made it to halfway point. And then I've got about another 30 that are rattling around up here. Projects are always done. There's always work to do, but we must continue working, continuing to draw closer to the Lord, continuing to learn more about His Word. Parents here today, understand this. If you desire your children to grow in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, it's important for them to be raised in the house of the Lord. It's important to have the Word of God in front of them, to be teaching them what the Word of God says. Teaching them that church is important. It's important our children know that following the Lord is not just some hour on Sunday morning, but rather it's through our life, being faithful to the house of God and living for the Lord all throughout the week. But you know what that's going to take? It's going to take some hard work. You know, if our children are going to see the difference that God makes in our life, you know what they're going to see in our lives? They're going to see attitude change. They're going to see speech change. They're going to see some priorities change, aren't they? Many people will say, well, I just don't know what to do. Live for the Lord. Put God first. Don't put these things first. Understand that that God needs to be first in your children's lives. And it'll only happen if He's first in your life. You see that Noah, because of what he believed, he built the ark. So in turn, if we believe God, we will also be working to obey God as well. Everything takes work, and our Christian life is no different. But it's worth the work. Over in 3 John, I'll turn over there, 3 John chapter 1 and verse 4, the Bible says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know, there are going to be ones that are raised in the house of the Lord, ones that that have been given every opportunity they can to follow the Lord, and they're going to decide, that's not what I'm going to do. I'm not going to follow the Lord. And there's nothing we can do about that. But understand this, we are responsible to do everything we can do. And we will give an account of that to the Lord. Not biblical perfection. That's not what I'm talking about here this morning. I'm talking about obeying the Bible. I'm talking about putting our hand to the plow. allowing our children and grandchildren to see that no matter what happens, going for the Lord, that this work needs to be done. Immediate action, and also hard work. Then notice lastly here this morning, notice the benefits of the project. The benefits of the project. You know, something that we all know to be true is this. When we see a house that is starting to be built, before the first board is nailed together, or the first two boards are nailed together, we start seeing some tractors come in and start moving dirt around. We start seeing some leveling begin. We start seeing some work being done beforehand, and then we see some foundation crews come in, or maybe a concrete for pouring the basement and these types of things. You start seeing this work happening. Well, you start seeing some walls go up, and then you start seeing the roof start to go on, and then the insides being all framed out, and the plumbing and the electrical and all of these things are getting done. And you start seeing it begin to look like a home, don't you? Very fulfilling. I love coming to build this house across here because it seemed like every single day there was something new to look at over there. Now it's just a house that's built. It's just a home, but it's just a house that's built. Another house to watch go up now. Amen. But you see a project that's happening. And many times after a project is built, the project designer, the owner of the property, whatever it may be, they'll look at it and they'll say something like this: it's even more beautiful than what I imagined. You know, I saw it on paper and saw what this is going to look like and what this is going to look like, but this is so much more beautiful than what I had ever imagined. Can I tell you this here today? Your faith life's going to be the exact same way if you're living for the Lord. Imagine when you get to heaven, how beautiful it's going to be. You know, I think about that and try to wrap my human brain around what heaven's going to be like. And I can guarantee this, it's going to be unlike anything that we can think of. It's going to be beautiful. But understand this, our life down here on earth as well, if we are living faith life, we're going to see some beautiful things happen through the project of our faith. Those are going to be the door that we knocked on. Seeing that person trust Christ and get baptized and join the church and serve the Lord through the church. That's a beautiful piece of that project. It's a benefit. Maybe we'll see our children even walk in church. Maybe we'll see being discipled and growing closer to the Lord. Maybe we'll see the Lord just doing wonderful things. There's some benefits to living the faith life, but the greatest benefit of all is when we get to heaven and we're able to receive those rewards from God, just so that we can take those and throw them back at Jesus' feet for all that He's done for us. But unfortunately, there's going to be many of the things in our lives because we did not do through the faith life, because we did not take immediate action, because we did not put forth the hard work. There's going to be many things that when everything that we've done, when it's placed before God, much of it is going to be burned up. Just gone. Up in smoke. But wait, I thought that was a good thing. God said, it's not what I called you to do. But I had this going on. But when I called you to do something, you didn't take immediate action. But Lord, there was this thing and that thing. We come up with all kinds of excuses, and the Lord says, you weren't willing to put in the hard work. You see, if we are willing to live the faith life, we're going to be willing to take immediate action. Put in that hard work. And I can guarantee you're going to see the benefits of the project. Either this side of heaven, but definitely that side. Amen. Noah was preserved. That was a benefit here. He was preserved. He was instructed by God to build the ark. And God told him that rain was coming. He told him the earth would be flooded. He needed to build the ark so that he would be saved. The work of that Noah performed was not performed for salvation, but because of salvation. And his life was spared because of the working of his faith. The Bible says that every man should give account of himself unto God. Therefore, we are personally accountable to what God has commanded us to do. As a parent, I am personally accountable for what my children do. I, as the pastor of Grace Baptist Church, I am personally accountable for the way that I instruct the church from the Bible. I'm accountable for that. You're here today and you've got children, you're accountable for that as well. But every single one of us, understand this, we are held personally responsible for the ones that God places in our path. Personally responsible for every one of them. Now, Noah was preserved. Another benefit of this project of Noah's faith was this: his family was preserved. There's many parents who say such things as this. Well, I just don't want to force my children to do this. I don't force God on my children. I can guarantee you this: the world is forcing Satan on your children. And they're doing it with billions upon billions of dollars just flooding into books and public school systems and movies and all of these things. And they're forcing this ideology that is against God. We need to get our children under the preaching of God's Word. They say, well, I want them to just make their own decisions. There comes a time in which they will. But for now, we need to guide them. We need to direct them. Understand, Noah's family was preserved because of the decisions that Noah made. Let's make the right decision. Understand that there are many different situations and things that people deal with, and understand that we as parents will answer for the way that we lead our family and what place would be better for our children to raise in the house of God. Hearing the truth of God's Word, and though not all children raised in church will accept Christ and live a life for the Lord, it gives them a foundation that's going to stick with them. Many people will say, well, if a person raises their children in the house of the Lord and their children don't follow the Lord after that, many people say, well, it was an issue with the parents. No, I don't believe that at all. When you follow that biblically speaking, you're not going to find that to be true, because every man has his own self-will. But what I can guarantee you is this, that the truth that we instill in our children, even if, God forbid, they come out and live for the world, they're going to understand this, that truth still stands. That there's a foundation that's there. And God forbid something terrible happen in their life, some tragedy or something like that, they'll remember that foundation that was laid. They'll remember that. Noah's family here was preserved. Noah believed God. He placed his faith in God. Noah was told to build the ark. He had his family involved in the work of the Lord because through Noah's life, understand this, he faced some ridicule. He no doubt was made fun of as he's working. Can you see these people coming up to Noah saying, what are you building there? You building a new house? No, I'm building an ark. Why are you building that ark? Because it's going to rain. It's never rained before. What are you talking about? It's going to rain. The only issue that we have, comes down as a dew at night, and it's not going to rain. You're crazy. What did he do? He kept preaching, though, and he kept building. There's going to be people that are going to look at you if you're trying to raise your family for the Lord, and they're going to say this: what are you doing? Don't you know that Bible stuff's outdated? Don't you know your children don't want that stuff? What do we do when that persecution comes? Keep building. Keep following the Lord. Keep preaching. Look at this poem here I want to read to you. It's called A Builder or a Wrecker. As I watch them tear a building down, a gang of men in a busy town, with a ho-heave-ho and a lusty yell, they swung a beam and the side wall fell. I asked the foreman, are these men skilled? And the men you'd hire if you wanted to build. He gave a laugh and said, no, indeed. Just common labor, is all I need. And easily wreck in a day or two what builders have taken years to do. And I thought to myself as I went my way, which of these roles have I tried to play? Am I a builder who works with care, measuring life by rule and square? Am I shaping my work to a well-made plan, patiently doing the best I can? Or am I a wrecker who walks to town, content with the labor of tearing down? O Lord, let my life and my labors be. Understand, if we're not following the Lord, if we do not take immediate action, if we are not willing to put in the hard work and the effort it takes to follow the Lord and build a strong faith life, understand this, you're not a builder, you're a wrecker. But it's not only our lives that we're wrecking. It's the lives of those around us. Well, they need to make better decisions. No, we need to realize we're personally accountable for them. The project of Noah's faith. The project here of Noah's faith was very important, and many details in this. So where are we today? Have you even started the project? Have you trusted Christ as your personal Savior? That's the starting point. If you haven't accepted Him, take care of that immediately. Maybe you're on faith. Have you allowed the materials to be put into action immediately? The hard work that you know it's going to. You know what the Bible says. You know what God's desire is. So what is your next step? Take immediate action. Be willing to put forth the hard work. And understand this, that if you live a life of faith, allowing the Lord to do great things, He will do great things through your life. He's going to do it. And even through the lives of your children and your children's children. But it is a project. Just as it was for Noah. Let's be willing to work.